From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project.
Overlooking historic Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan, live from the NPR studios, this is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. News, information, and remixes. I'm Allison Stewart.
And I'm Rachel Martin. It is Friday, April 4th, 2008. Friday is always a good time for a little music mashup, which I have to say was not what I expected to hear when I came out of the studio the other day. I had done an interview with a journalist named John Colapinto. We talked about modern-day treasure hunting. And after the interview aired, I came out of the studio and BPP producer Ian Chillog had excised a little bit of the interview that I did with this man.
And gave it a little something.
And gave it a little extra spice. Let's listen to that. It's because the booty is more accessible. The booty is more accessible. The booty is more accessible. The booty.
Okay, that's enough. Can we make it go away, please?
I love the booty remix.
I was talking about pirates.
Booty.
Get it?
Well, all I said was wow on my remix. We had a guest on yesterday who was talking about Boss Tweed. He was excellent, but he seemed a little excited to be on the radio.
He was very excited.
And he had this sort of a mischievous laugh, and he would say something very interesting about Boss Tweed, and then he would laugh, and it would make me laugh. And at one point, I guess I just said, wow. And Matt Martinez, he got the fever and began remixing himself.
Wow. 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 Wow.
Oh, number one on iTunes. I predict it.
Good times doing
radio can
good
be
times.
Fun.
The
all right, on to some more serious matters. What
Indeed.
Do you have, Rachel?
Indeed, we're going to talk about Chinese espionage in the United States. Last week, a man named Chi Mok was given a very long sentence, 24 and a half years he was sentenced to for trying to smuggle U.S. defense secrets to China. We're going to talk with a reporter about what law enforcement officials say is a growing network of so-called sleeper spies in the U.S.
Now, if you thought one of those two remixes was the best song in the world today, you are incorrect. We have the best song
Good
in the
guess,
world
though.
Today. And we do mean the world. The song is from Senegal. And it was brought to us by one of our interns who lived there for a while. Stay tuned for her story.
And the fastest rattlesnake sacker in the world. His name is Jackie Bibby, in case you didn't know. And he's going to be on our show today.
We'll get today's headlines in just a minute. But first, outraged politicians, apologetic executives, whistleblowers in tears. What was it all about?
It's about the total failure by the FAA to perform sufficient oversight of its maintenance programs.
That's Congressman Jerry Costello, an Illinois Democrat, at a House hearing yesterday. Federal Aviation Administration officials routinely ignored their inspectors' safety concerns, cozied up to major airlines, and threatened inspectors who got a little too nosy. That's according to testimony yesterday by two FAA whistleblowers who went before the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee.
This all stems from the discovery last month that Southwest Airlines missed a series of safety inspections, which netted them a more than $10 million fine. Soon afterwards, other major carriers grounded hundreds of planes for inspections. But two safety inspectors who testified yesterday said these discoveries were symptomatic of a larger problem.
Bobby Boutrous, an FAA safety inspector who worked with Southwest Airlines, said he reported a series of safety concerns nearly a year ago, but the investigation was quickly closed without action. He said the FAA treated airlines like quote-unquote customers and that problems were widespread.
I'm here to report that more than one FAA inspector, along with the FAA management, have been looking the other way for years. No supervisor can do what my supervisor was doing without the support from fellow inspectors, the support of the division management team, who were fully aware of what was going on, and I believe the support of some people in Washington.
Boutrous said the FAA's chief maintenance inspector at the time, Douglas Gawadzinski, was close friends with an executive at Southwest, and Boutrous was eventually removed from his position after Southwest complained. Gawadzinski was not asked to testify because he's considered a hostile witness.
Douglas Peters, an FAA safety inspector who worked with American Airlines, says he faced similar pressure. He grew emotional yesterday when describing a conversation with an FAA manager.
He then pointed
to a picture of my family and say, again, this is what's important. On his way out the door, he made the following statement. You have a good job here, and your wife has a good job over at the Dallas FISDO. I'd hate to see you jeopardize yours and hers career trying to take down a couple of losers.
Nicholas Sabatini, the FAA's top safety officer, apologized to lawmakers yesterday and vowed to conduct a full investigation. And as for the concerns about Southwest, Herb Kelleher, the airline's founder and executive chairman, apologized yesterday for allowing planes to fly that should not have. But he insisted passenger safety was never compromised. The company's CEO said the airline had increased inspections and would take further action after all reviews are complete.
But committee chairman James Oberstar, Democrat from Minnesota, said the problem goes beyond just Southwest.
This is not an isolated aberration attributed or attributable to a rogue individual, but rather a systematic breakdown.
And Oberstar said he knows what has to be done.
FAA needs to clean house from top to bottom, take corrective action, hire more inspectors, and give them a safety mission.
You can read more about this story at npr.org. Now let's get to some more of today's headlines.